I encourage you to take the time today, it's only 14 verses, but to take the time to get alone with the Lord and read this entire psalm, because it will bless your soul. And it's not absolutely certain when this psalm was written or what the occasion of it was. It was probably either when David was running from Saul or when he had been chased from Jerusalem and from the throne by his son Absalom. We're not for sure which occasion that was, but nevertheless, we do know from the writing and from the text that it was a time when David was traveling an extremely rough road. And it was a time that he was going through a difficulty in his life that almost ruined him and that had threatened to wreck his life and to bring him down. He had become, in this situation, whatever he was facing, David had become spiritually weak, and everything around him seemed to grow dark. And David had come to the place, according to our text, he had come to the place, to the point of actually fainting, to the verge of giving up, to the verge of losing heart. And another word for fainting, as it refers to our spiritual life, would be to lose heart. But it was at that time when David had come to that place where he was just about to lose heart. He was reeling in his tracks. He was just about to fall. He was at the point of just casting it away and giving up completely. At that point in time, there was something in David's life that sustained him and stabilized him. There was something that carried David through. There was something that brought him through this particular situation in his life and that kept him from losing heart and from giving up. And that something that carried him through and kept him in the race was his faith. It was his faith. He looks back on the situation, on the whole ordeal, on everything that he had went through. And he's reflecting on that. And he says, he makes this statement. And he said, I had fainted unless I had believed. Oh, hallelujah. You need to get a hold of that this morning. This is the reason why what you believe is so important in your life. Because your faith and your belief in God, in His Word, is your cure for spiritual fainting and passing out and giving up. Can somebody say amen? See, fainting, we'll talk about that word here for just a moment, but fainting is one of the most common and dangerous foes we face. And when I speak of fainting, I'm talking about spiritually. The word fainting means to be weak, means to be feeble, to be exhausted, depressed, or dispirited. It means to decline or to fail in strength or vigor, or to lose consciousness. But it also means, in the spiritual aspect, fainting means to lose courage, or to lose spirit, or to lose heart. Has anybody here ever, in the natural, actually physically fainted? Have you ever fainted? Anybody ever fainted? Some folks have, yeah. Well, I don't think I ever have, actually. You know, sometimes fainting can just come on you unexpected, and just, boom, you just faint, you just fall out. At other times, you can just feel it coming on you. I had a situation like that a few years ago on a Sunday morning after church. I had preached, and it was when Warehouse Barbecue was still open, and we went over there to eat, and there was a large number of folks waiting to get a table, and we were sitting there, and just all of a sudden, I mean, I could feel, I don't know what was wrong, but I began to get pale. I wasn't sick or anything. I could literally feel the blood leaving my face. My face started getting cold. I knew I was going to black out. So I went to the restroom and washed my face in water and done all these things. And I thought, well, I'm in pretty good shape now. Maybe I'm okay. And so I came back out and joined the folks that we were with there. And I thought, now I can make this. I'm not going to faint. I'm going to be all right. As soon as we get to a table where I can sit down, I'll be okay. And we got to a table and sat down, and I just plopped my head over on the table. I couldn't go any farther. And Vicki had to take me home. But I don't know what caused it, don't know what the reason, haven't had that problem since. But the fact is, if you've ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to be faint, to lose consciousness, to just for all of the strength in your body to leave you, and you can't stand on your own anymore. And that's in the physical. And physically, fainting physically is a serious thing. But I want you to know that the same thing can happen in the spiritual realm. And fainting in your spirit is even more serious than fainting in the natural or in the physical. Can you say amen? Do you believe that? And there is that danger. There is always a foe, that danger of the believer giving up or losing a heart spiritually. And this spiritual fainting is the type of fainting that David's referring to in this scripture text today. David said that he almost fainted in his heart. He came to the place where he felt like giving up. He came to the place where he was just about ready to throw in the towel and to quit, just to chuck it all and to say, I've had enough. And I believe that we here this morning, I imagine every believer, if you're not saved, I think we can identify with what David was feeling. Because there are scores, listen to me, church, there are scores of Christians today that are in this very same condition that David found himself in. They are on the verge of fainting. They're on the verge of giving up. And there are actually a lot of Christians that have actually spiritually fainted and thrown in the towel and quit the race and given up because of the pressures and the trials and the attacks of the enemy on their life. There are many Christians today who were at one time full of the zeal and the enthusiasm of the Lord that they could one time be counted on to be in their place in every service. But they have allowed somewhere along the line these very individuals that one time were so full of the zeal of God have allowed the fires of their enthusiasm to go out, their interest and their desire for spiritual things have diminished, and they've come to a place where they're indifferent and inattentive to the things of God. Listen to me, church, that's not the place that you want to find yourself in today. That's not the condition that you and I as a believer want to be in. People who have come to that place, you know, where they've spiritually fainted. Now their life is not corrupt or ungodly. They haven't gone out into the things of the world or indulging in the sins of the flesh or the works of the flesh, but they have fainted. They have just simply come to the place where they have lost heart. They've lost courage. They've just become spiritually exhausted and given up in the race. And all of us are subject to fainting. All of us are subject to fainting. David was. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, if you study your Bible, have come to that place. You know, Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, came to that place under the juniper tree where he just gave up. He said, I've had enough. Lord, just let me die. Isn't that what Elijah said? Jeremiah came to that place where he had preached and preached and nobody listened to him and nobody paid any attention to him, and it was just one problem after another. And Jeremiah said, I've had enough, Lord. He said, I'm not going to even speak your word anymore. I'm not going to preach no more. I'm turning in my credentials. I'm done. But then he said, but I couldn't. He said, your word was in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stay. I had to go right on. Hallelujah! I think there's some of us that need a rekindling of the fire on the inside of us. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. To increase that zeal and that desire. But all of us are in that place where we are subject to fainting. Fainting, spiritual fainting, causes us to give up on our goals and to give up on our pursuits and our desires and dreams. And I just wonder today, and you know, how many ministries do you think there are today? How many churches that there are that have fallen by the wayside and never came to the place where they experienced their full potential in God simply because they lost heart, simply because the pressures of life seem to be too much, or the attacks of the enemy were too much, so they just fainted and fell by the wayside. See, I believe that fainting is the greatest cause of failure in every area of the Christian life. That's why that it's so important for us to know how to deal with this thing that David referred to as fainting in our heart, or losing heart. You know, you can have great opportunities. God can open doors. You can have great abilities, all the knowledge. You know, you can read books. You can gain all the knowledge that you can. But I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter how much knowledge or how many opportunities or how much ability that you have. If you give up, if you get to the place where you quit on God and you give up and throw in the towel, none of that other stuff matters at all. Are you hearing me? That, you know, none of that matters. When we were kids, you know, we grew up, you know, hearing the story of the tortoise and the hare. You remember that little fable of the tortoise and the hare, and how that, you know, that, I mean, this was a mismatched race. That rabbit, there's no doubt that rabbit could win that race. That tortoise did not have a chance in the world of winning that race, but the tortoise won the race. And the tortoise didn't win the race because of his great running ability. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He didn't win the race because of his great running ability, but he won the race. Why did he win the race? Because of his staying power. He just kept on. And what was the moral? The moral of that little fable, that story, was slow and steady wins the race. Amen. It's staying power. It's just staying in there. It's refusing to give up. It's just refusing. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what the enemy throws in our way, no matter what mountains are there, no matter what hardships we have to face, we've got to have that staying power like that tortoise, that we just simply have made up our mind that we're not going to quit, we're not going to give up, we're not going to faint. And I'm going to tell you something today, church, if you won't quit, if you won't stop, if you won't give up, I'm telling you, you're serving a God who won't quit. A God who won't give up on you. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The quality, this quality of staying power is so vital to your Christian life. I think it's something that's so vitally needed within the life of believers today. But when we go through the Word of God and you go through the Scriptures, the Scripture describes a spiritual life that is best shown and shows the characteristics of staying power as being prominent. When you study the lives of Bible characters that made it through, you'll find that to be a prominent characteristic in their life. They had a perseverance. They had a quality of endurance. You know, Jesus said what? Jesus said that he that endures till the end. Hallelujah. The same shall be saved. James talked about the patience of Job. And James said, behold, we count them happy which endure. So there's some endurance factors that are there. And there, every Bible character that you read about, you find that staying power and that endurance was a great part and trait in their life. I thought about Gideon, you know, and Gideon's 300. And how God used Gideon and 300 men. God whittled his army down from 32,000 to 300. Now that doesn't make for, you know, good church growth preaching material. Amen. When he had a church of 32,000 and God said, you know, I never hear any of these church growth people say anything about that. That God ever spoke to him and said, you have too many. It's quiet, ain't it? But the Lord spoke to Gideon and said, your army's too big. If you win the battle with 32,000, you're going to say that your own hand has defeated the enemy. So God cut his army down. He just first off told everybody who was fearful and afraid, go home. And there was a big group of them left then. But God told him, he said, there's still too many. And so God got it down to 300 men. There were 300 men in the army of Gideon. Gideon, you know the story. The Midianites were as the sand of the sea. I mean, God's people were greatly outnumbered. But God divided that little group of 300 into three companies of 100. They surrounded the armies of Midian. All they had for their weapons was a pitcher with a lamp in it and a trumpet. And Gideon said, when you hear, get the signal, everybody break their pitcher, sound the trumpet, let your light shine, and shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Y'all remember that story, amen? And they've got the Midianites surrounded in the middle of the night, and Gideon gave the signal, and they broke the pitchers. The light, there was all of a sudden light all around the camp of the Midianites. They began to blow the trumpet, began to blow the ram's horn, and those 300 shouted as loud as they could and said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And I'm telling you what, the Midianites rose up, began to flee. God began to move, and that army of 300 began to defeat that army of a multitude, and God won a great victory through Gideon. But here's the point I want to make. They began to defeat the Midianites, Gideon's army did, and they chased them all night long. They were chasing the two kings of Midian. They chased them all night long. I believe I read that those 300 men had defeated 200,000 Midianites. That can only happen by the power of God. See, it doesn't matter how outnumbered it may seem like you are, if you'll not faint, but you'll get up and fight. Hallelujah. With the Lord on your side, you cannot be defeated. They begin to chase the army all night long. And the Bible says that they came in Judges chapter number 8. In Judges chapter number 8 and verse 4, it says that Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him. Notice they hadn't lost a one of their 300. Amen. Gideon and he and his 300 men came to Jordan, those 300 that were with him. But notice it says they were faint. They were faint, but yet pursuing. Oh man, I had a preach right there. They were faint, but they were yet pursuing. The New King James says they were exhausted, but still in pursuit. See, here was the key to Gideon's success was that him and his army, they stayed with it. They were tired. They were weary. The battle had been long. Everything in them, every part of them was saying, you can't keep going. You can't keep going. You've got to stop. You've got to get some rest. They were faint. They were exhausted. But here was the key to their victory. They refused to quit. They just refused to give up. They had that staying power that says, we're not giving up. Up. Hallelujah! That's what God's looking for in the life of His people. Amen. It's when you get to that place that you feel like you just can't go on anymore. Any believers here that's ever been there feel like you just can't go on, spiritually speaking, another step. The enemy has got you surrounded and you're about to, you just don't know how you're going to make it. But it's when you're in that place where you're exhausted, where you're faint, but where you're about to lose heart, but you've still got to maintain that pursuit. You've still got to maintain that faith. You've got to get your second spiritual win. That's when it's time to pray one more prayer. That's when it's time to encourage yourself. That's when it's time to lift up your hands and bless the Lord and praise Him one more time and say, devil, I am not giving in or giving up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for some for some Timex Christians. They can take a licking and keep on ticking. Amen. Some Energizer Bunny saints that just keep going and going and going. Why? Because they're energized by the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me today? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Moses had that staying power. Moses pastored a church. It was a very large church, 3 to 6 million people. And Moses faced opposition. He faced disappointment. He faced bitter heartache. You know, he dealt with criticism. He dealt with complaints. That group that that bunch of people Moses pastored, he couldn't keep them in a good mood. They complained all the time. He was always going before the Lord about them. You know, he couldn't keep them all straight. As a matter of fact, the original congregation all wound up dying off, and God raised up a whole new congregation. Amen. But Moses faced that opposition and heartache and trouble. But you know what the Scripture says about Moses? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, the Scripture says that Moses endured. He endured all that. You know how he endured? That verse says that he endured as seeing him who was invisible. See, Moses had that ability to endure, to persevere, to have that staying power. But the reason he had it is he wasn't looking at the situation. He learned how to get his eyes upon the one that is invisible. He had his spiritual eye fixed on his God, and his God gave him the power to endure. Amen? See, there are so many that are weak Christians and anemic Christians that just can't seem to endure today. They're convinced. Some have become convinced. The devil has convinced so many believers that being an overcomer in their walk with God is way out of their reach. Satan has convinced a lot of Christians of that. That they just simply can't be victorious, or they can't be an overcomer. And they become discouraged, and they come to that place where hope is gone. And that's the problem. They think, what's the use in even going on anymore? I like what one translation says of that verse, our text, Psalm 27:13. There's one translation that says it this way. David said, I had almost given up my hope of seeing the blessing of the Lord. And there's a lot of people that come to that place where they just about give up their hope of seeing the blessing of the Lord. They're so discouraged and they lose their hope. Do you know what Proverbs 24:10 says? It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint when the trouble comes, that means you're not strong spiritually as you should be. Or ought to be. But I want to tell you something this morning, saints of God. I want to give you a word of encouragement. And that is, it doesn't matter what you're facing. You can make it through. That is it's a lie from the devil that tells you that you cannot attain that place of being victorious. It's a lie from the devil that tells you that you cannot be an overcomer. I'm here to tell you that you can make it. But you can make it through. Hallelujah. I said you can make it through. But Pastor Rick, you don't know what I'm going through today or what I'm facing in the natural. And I don't have to know, because God knows. And that's all that matters, is if God knows. And if God knows where you're at and you belong to God, I'm here to tell you this morning, I can tell you on the authority of His promises that God is going to take care of you. Amen. He's going to help you. So in spite of the pressures, or in spite of the difficult times, you can make it. Because in spite of the temptation to faint, David managed to stay firm. And that's what I love about the text, was that David, the implication is, I had almost given up. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of difference between almost quitting and just throwing in the towel and quitting. Can somebody say amen? I don't know about you. Has anybody here ever thought, I've almost just said, that's it? We'll pray for the rest of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he almost quit. He almost fainted, but he didn't. I said, but he didn't. I said, but he didn't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He had the opportunity to give in to despair, and he nearly did. Because he said, I would have fainted. I would have lost heart. I would have given up my hope. But he didn't. And he went on to say, because there was something in David's life that sustained him through his difficult time. Do you know what that was? It's not something that you don't have access to yourself today. Because I don't care, it don't matter what you're going through, the very same key that David had in his life some 4,000 years ago, that very same key that David used to get him through a difficult situation is the very same thing every one of you born again believers are sitting here with tonight, today. It is the key of faith. It is the fact that David refused to surrender his faith. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed. There was something that kept him going. It was a belief that God was still working in his life. Give the Lord a praise, somebody. Woo! He just kept on believing. Hallelujah. Somebody say, well, what did he believe? Well, in that chapter, we won't have time to touch on it, but in that chapter, David expressed in that 27th Psalm some of the things he believed. First thing he believed, David, listen. David had a faith. David believed in the church. He believed in church. I know y'all believe in church because you're here. But he felt that the house of God, the church, was important. In verse 4 through 6 of that 27th Psalm, listen to what he said. I read these this morning. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set my feet upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. That's what we've been doing here this morning, here in the tabernacle, in the house of the Lord. See, David found strength in worship and coming to the sanctuary to worship. How many of y'all know that there's strength? When you're going through, whether you're going through anything or not, but especially when you're going through problems in your life, do you know what? When you're facing your most fierce spiritual battles, that's the time to be in church. That's not the time to stay home. That's not the time, you know, to get off by yourself and stay away from the house of God. Man, when you're going through stuff, that's where you find strength. David found his strength in worship in the sanctuary, in the house of God. David found escape from his troubles. David found joy in God's presence. He came to the tabernacle to offer the sacrifices of joy and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Let me tell you something this morning, Abundant Life Family Church, that coming to the house of God is a big deal. It is what you need. It will do you good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We cannot give up our faith and believing in what we can receive when we get together with God's people to worship the Lord. Amen. But the second thing that David believed in, he had a faith and a belief in prayer. He was a man of prayer. In verse 7, notice what he says. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hallelujah. David was a praying man, and it was because he was a praying man that he got through this difficult time in his life. And I'm going to tell you something, that those who have a proper prayer life and a strong prayer life have a strength in their life that those who are prayerless know nothing about. I don't know if you heard that. Did you get me? If you know people that have a strong, proper prayer life, there's a strength in those individuals that those who do not ever pray know nothing about that strength that they have. Praying people stand fast in the Lord. Luke 18:1 says that he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's an important verse of Scripture, because Jesus didn't believe that praying and fainting could live in the same heart at the same time. I believe the same thing, don't you? Praying, let me say it again. Praying, this is what Jesus believed. Praying and fainting cannot exist in the same heart at the same time. Prayers are not fainters. And fainters, for the most part, are not prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. David said, you said, Lord, to me, seek my face. You know what David's response was to that? Oh, Lord, your face I will seek. I'm going to seek you. And David was always a praying man. He was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't a perfect man. He had some terrible blunders in his life. But I'm telling you what, he was a man after God's own heart, because he came back and he repented and he prayed through and he sought the Lord. Amen. God's looking for some people today in his church, in the body of believers, that will be prayers, that will pray, that will seek the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you'll take time to pray and wait upon the Lord, if you'll take time every day to spend some time with your Heavenly Father, you will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You won't be a fainter if you are a prayer. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40, familiar verse. Verses of Scripture that we know so well. But Isaiah 40:29-31 says, He gives power to the faint. Who? God. God gives power to the faint. And to them who have no might. And you may be sitting here this morning. This may be you. This may be what you're feeling spiritually. You're feeling spiritually faint. There's no strength in your life. But it says, and to them who have no might, what does God do? He increases their strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, read it with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Are you hearing me? Prayers are not fainters. If you'll wait on God in prayer, you'll have a strength that will sustain you and will see you through. So David believed. He had faith. He believed in the church as a place to receive strength. He believed in prayer. And last of all, and I'm going to close with this. David believed. Here was the main part of David's faith. And this is the part I want you to get today. David believed that he would see God's goodness manifested in his life. David believed that he would see God's goodness manifested in his life. That's what he said. I had fainted unless I had believed what, David? Unless I had believed to see the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen to me. David doesn't say that he would have fainted if he hadn't, if it hadn't been for the Lord's goodness. And I thank God for God's goodness. We serve a good God. He is a good God. The Lord is good, the Bible says, and His mercy endureth forever. And we just better be glad that He is good. Is God good to you? Is He good to you? Yes, He is. He's good to us. And the Scripture said, you know, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, or good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? Good things. Good things to them that ask Him. So, David believed in the goodness of God. But it doesn't say in that text that he would have fainted if it hadn't have been for the Lord's goodness. But it says that if it hadn't been for the fact, and here's the part I want you to get a hold of. If it hadn't been for the fact that he believed that he would see the goodness of the Lord. Now, what does that say? What is that saying to us? In other words, at that moment in his life, he wasn't experiencing the goodness of the Lord. Are you with me? At that particular time, he wasn't experiencing God's goodness. He was going through a bad time. He was thinking, where is God? What's going on here? God, you know, I don't understand. This is not supposed to be happening to me. I live for you. Why am I going through this? Have those thoughts ever come into anybody's mind? I don't know about y'all. You know, as a pastor, we hear things like this all the time. You know? Well, if God's the good God that He is, why do bad things happen to good people? Try pastoring and listening to some of this, you know, all the time. And you have to, you know, have to have some kind of an answers for people. But things were not necessarily going good. He wasn't experiencing the goodness of God at that time. But the thing was, even though he wasn't there yet, even though he had not yet experienced God's goodness in his life in this situation that he was in, yet in his spirit, in the midst of his trouble, in his spirit, he believed in his heart that he would see the goodness of God in his life, no matter what it looked like in his situation at that present time. Listen, I don't know whether you know this or not, but what I'm telling you will get you through anything that comes your way. It's about believing to see the goodness of God. See, when David felt like giving up, he believed God would show up. He couldn't see the working of God at that particular time, but that faith that he had in his heart, that he believed he would see the goodness of God in his life, it was that faith, that belief, that kept David from fainting and that kept him from giving up. And I'm telling you that if you and I, as believers today, are going to experience victory in our life, you have got to see beyond the current state that you're in and see yourself victorious. You've got to see yourself in light of the promises of God. I'm not talking about denying your circumstance. I'm not talking about, you know, just trying to confess away what's happening and saying that it's not happening or it's not real. Man, let me tell you, sickness is real. Circumstances are real. And the devil is real. And demons are real. And problems are real when you're going through them. I'm not talking about denying anything. But what I am talking talking about is that you are going to have to, with your eyes of faith, with your inner man, with your heart, you're going to have to believe that God is working in your behalf and that God's goodness is going to show up. And it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. Your God is a good God and His goodness is going to be manifested in your life. He's going to turn that situation around. Amen? It's faith to believe. It's faith to believe even when you can't see. And that's what faith is. Somebody said, well, you know, I'm from Missouri. When I see it, I'll believe it. Well, no. When you see it, you'll know it. You'll know it. When I see it and I touch it and I feel it and I taste it, when I've got it in my hands, I know it. But until I feel it and literally physically experience it, until I know it, then that's where I've got to believe it. That's where I've got to believe that what God has said in His Word is true. And that He said, what He said He would do for me. That's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if you don't believe it now while you're in your trouble, you won't experience it later. You got to believe it now while you're not seeing it to experience it later. Isn't that what Thomas did? A lot of us got Thomas faith. That's what Thomas did. He wasn't there when the Lord showed up. And they told Thomas, said, the Lord's been here. The Lord appeared to us. And Thomas said, I don't believe that. I have to see Him. And I have to put my finger in the prints of His nails in His hand and thrust my hand in His side. I got to touch Him. I got to have something tangible. And if I can do that, then I'll believe. Isn't that what Thomas said? The Lord appeared to him a little later and said to Thomas, hey, Thomas, come here. Look here at these holes in my hands. Put your finger in there, Thomas. And he said, look at this slit in my side. Put your hand in that slit in my side, Thomas. And you know what the Lord said to Thomas when he done that? He said, and don't be faithless, but believing. Thomas just said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, you have seen and have believed. But blessed is he who what? Has not seen and yet has believed. See, David believed to see the goodness of God by faith. And those who believe to see God's goodness by faith will walk, listen to me, will walk in God's goodness by sight. If you believe to see His goodness by faith, then the time will come. You will walk in His goodness by sight and in His blessing. Listen. David said, I will believe. He said, I believe I'll see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's an important phrase. I believe that I'll see the goodness of God. Where? In the land of the living. What he was saying there was, he believed that God would show up in his situation and that he would outlive his trouble. I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life in the land of the living. And that sustained him. And that kept him from fainting and losing heart. Amen. Musicians, would you come? Singers, musicians, come back, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know what you may be facing today, but I felt God just this week directing me this way. And it was early in the week that the Lord dropped this into my heart, gave me this direction. So I believe, because the Lord did that, that there's folks here today that needed to hear that. Because we all come to that place in our life at times when it would be easier to quit than it would to fight. When it would be easier to give up, because listen, anybody can give up. Anybody can quit. But it takes somebody special to just keep standing and believing God that God's going to turn things around in their life. When everything in the natural is opposed to it, and everything around you, everything in the natural says it isn't going to happen, it takes faith to just keep believing and say, you know what? I believe I'm going to see the goodness of God in this thing. I believe I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. I believe I'm going to outlive and outlast this problem that's come my way. This thing is not going to get me down and cause me to fail. Amen. Brother Norman.